Welcome to the Soccer Central Podcast.
Coutinho, that's a gem. That is an absolute beauty of a free kick. You don't beat Petr Cech from that sort of distance without something truly special.
That strike is of the highest quality.
Ibrahimovic! Oh, wow! There's your superstar! Up in lights, welcoming himself to England, Zlatan Ibrahimovic from a mile out. In by Valencia, came to Martial, and Rooney! Manchester United's number 10 has his goal. It is his 87th goal away from home in the Premier League. And in that regard, it takes him level with Alan Shearer, top of that table.
And Navas into the perfect area. Delph on hand. May even have got a touch of a Sunderland man. And there's the one that turns away in utter disappointment. What is for certain is that Guardiola has his lead back with less than 4 minutes left.
In by El Mahamedi, came back for Stoukos! Crunching finish! And Hull City have their lead back! There's some courage about this whole performance. There is some fibre in this team.
Production value. We have some production value on the podcast, eh? Pretty impressed.
Amazing.
Yeah, hey. I like it.
We call that a SOT.
That's a cool business. Sound on tape.
There we go.
Yeah. It is the Soccer Central podcast, Monday, August the 15th. I'm James Sharman. That voice was Thomas Dobby. Brendan Dunlop, who is going old school and helping us out with the production here. Like it's like, what, 2005 or something?
Doing three effing jobs.
It's not quite the same, though. I don't get to put the full touch on. Basically, I just see it. And then I put it in a position for someone else to grab. So it's actually, I feel robbed of the opportunity, you know?
How long was that? It was a little long for my taste.
But well, it was there was a 5-goal request via our group
message.
Can
I give you one other tiny tip?
Yes.
Do it chronologically if you're using the same game you did Ibra then Rooney. I'd have done Rooney then Ibra, but just a little thing, a little producer tip.
I think that all was... Right.
Sorry, I'm being a bit of a...
Nitpicking Nancy?
Nitpicking Nancy, yes, yeah, something.
Yeah. Nitpicking Nancy.
That's
great
okay.
Job.
When you know, when you live the NHL off-season millionaire cottage life, it's you look at the world differently.
Look at the world differently.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I look at the world differently. I don't know how much longer I can do this.
What?
Not this podcast. I know that was your first thought.
Mm-hmm. Do what?
The Premier League.
Life in general or the Premier League?
No, the Premier League.
What does that mean?
Well, you've experienced this before a long time ago.
Oh, this is like, aren't there. I got
this
you.
Is like watching. Oh, gotcha. I have to watch my ex-girlfriend like every week, and every week she's getting sexier and she's moving on with her life. Like she's well moved on. She's got a new logo.
But you're with the new one and you beat Rotherham. So that's
3-0.
You know.
You score 3 goals against Rotherham. I mean, that's better than
out of the league
losing
cup, you can focus on the league. We did the same.
It will be a foreign experience for me because Villa have never been contenders or expected to win titles. And I mean, you know, they're going to be in contention.
It's okay. An ex-Villa player put in a man of the match performance for Everton, so that's good.
Let me ask you this: Would you rather watch on a regular basis Villa losing to Premier League teams like last year, or beating League Championship teams?
I would rather watch Villa, which is not the option that I have being in a League Championship. Yes, I got to see Luton Town on Tuesday. Thank you very much. Web subscription, which is separate from the television subscription, for those of you who are considering, you now know.
Bit of a shot at a rival broadcaster there, I think. That's okay. You know what I find frustrating about this time of year? Is that the bloody window's not closed. And I'm watching all these teams and these performances, and there's so many question marks because it's really like a preseason that counts.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You know? I think we've had this conversation before a long, long time ago that should it close before the season. And you know what? I felt like that at times, but for some reason... Even yesterday, seeing that Arsenal result, and I just thought, this is fun because now that puts even more pressure on Wenger to go out and make those signings. And, you know, will they make that panic buy? And it just, Arsenal is the perfect kind of team for that first week where they've done nothing. There's since Xhaka before the Euros even, and the pressure is already on them to do that. And then they lose that game, give up 4 goals, and, you know, there's boos and there's people already freaking out about Wenger, and it's kind of perfect for us to sit back and think, well, this is fun. Arsenal's going to be a joy to watch for the next 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, in comes Per Mertesacker and that fat Brazilian guy, destined for the final window, final day.
It was the game of the weekend, Liverpool beating Arsenal 4-3, but you watch those games, that game, and you hear Wenger's post-game comments, and he's like, he's surprised that, oh, the season started. Mm. Oh, we should have done our business a bit earlier now. It's ridiculous, isn't it? And we know what they need, and we know what the issues of that team are, and having poor old Rob Holding and Callum Chambers at centre-half against Liverpool in the first game of the Prem, you know, it's not fair. But I understand why he's trying to, you know, get a good deal for whoever he's targeting. But the longer he waits, the more leverage the other teams have. Like Lacazette, for example, you know, is worth, say he's worth 40 million last week. Now his club's thinking, boy, Arsenal really need this guy. We're going to jack it by 20 million more. Mm-hmm. If he did his business early, get it over and done with, overpay a little bit, because you've got to overpay, I think, and if you want to compete nowadays,
mm-hmm.
it just makes more sense. You know, it's like this deer caught in the headlights. It's like, oh my word, the season's just begun and we've got some deficiencies.
Yeah, and the biggest shocker to me, and I know this is kind of an overall summer thing with that, but like with him being in the last year of his contract, the uncertainty, doesn't know if he's going to come back. I mean, he's always been a guy that, you know, has gone by the books, and I think that's why the board have loved him so much, because they've gotten the Champions League. The team is making money. Their books are amazing. But of all times when you think this is a time for Wenger to go all in and spend that money and try to go and win a title, it would be this season. And it's just, what are you waiting for? What are you holding back for? I can't put it together why it hasn't happened. And now, again, we're kind of thinking, is there going to be that overpaid panic buy? But at this point, they have to do something. If they don't do anything, it's going to be revolt there.
I think he's just comfortable with these questions. He's comfortable constantly with people doubting him and the questions that he has to answer. Whereas if the questions became, wow, your purchases, they were great. Look at the results again. I don't know how to answer this.
You know what it is? Confused. Using another girlfriend metaphor, it's like, and you have the girlfriend and it's just not working out. It's terrible, but you think it's going to get better. Oh, I'll give it a bit longer.
Keep
get
fighting.
Because he's so loyal to his players, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're not improving, or the whole chemistry is not improving. It's the same thing as the narrative begins after one game this
season. One game, yeah. We'll look back on this when Arsenal are in first place in March.
They're playing, I think, Leicester next weekend.
They are.
The champs.
Yes.
The champs. But,
at Leicester.
What a game it was, though. 18-minute span, 4 goals for Liverpool. And you last week you said Philippe Coutinho is probably top five in the Prem. And I thought, it's debatable. But
and then he put in that performance.
He's the best player in the Prem.
I did think about that as he did that. Because, as I said, I was like, that might have been a tiny bit of a stretch. But just in terms of what he can bring in and when he's on, and he showed it for sure. I mean, he was absolutely terrifying the Arsenal defense. Hands up if you had heard of Rob Holding before that team sheet came out. No.
Purely from my research that he had signed from Bolton.
Yeah?
Didn't know anything about
him.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Because,
okay.
Well, there's so few signings for Arsenal. They signed Xhaka and this Holding.
This Rob Holding, yes.
He'll be on for the future, starting week one.
Week one.
Xhaka on the bench.
With Callum Chambers.
Wouldn't you think that you get this kind of, you know, it's not so much a defensive midfielder, but a holding midfielder in Xhaka, you might want to play him ahead of two kids in defense, might have been a thought.
Mm.
And he brought Xhaka on, and Xhaka played really well.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to play Coquelin at center back. He'd been training him in preseason.
Lower and lower.
You're shrinking.
I'm shrinking.
You're
down
at the
here.
Kids' table. Shrinking Violet. Yeah. There's got to be a handle for that.
Don't worry. We'll take care of the podcast, James, and you can figure it out.
There you go.
Podcast logistics.
Ish.
When you're in an old abandoned radio studio, this is what happens.
Smells like farts in here as well, but I figured that's your McDonald's.
Yeah.
Well, who will now not be our sponsor? I thought about if I should say that, but oh well.
That's fine.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. We stink like farts.
Hey, Guinness sponsoring the Premier League coverage this season on Sportsnet.
Oh, yeah.
Very happy about that. When I say Premier League on Sportsnet presented by Guinness, I get all kind of giggly and stuff because
free samples?
Money. Well, that's I'm hoping at some point. None yet. But just if you're listening, Guinness, and if you want to sponsor this podcast, I've probably spent almost a mortgage worth of money on Guinness over the years.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to get some payback, kind of, on the show, but wouldn't mind some free beer.
What are you happier about, that it's sponsored by Guinness or that you no longer have, say, the BPL?
Yeah, BPL.
Barclays Premier League.
I'm very happy about that.
Do you guys like the new graphics package on the...
It's growing on me a little bit. Yeah. At first, I was like, it's a little bit simple.
It's a tiny bit gimmicky right now. You'll get used to
it. It's very FIFA.
Yeah,
I think that was the intention.
And the ball too. Retro, I mean, there's just a lot of stuff. I like the non corporate branding. I like that graphics. I was kind of
anticlimactic. What do you want from the graphics package, Tom?
I was very happy with last year's. I thought it was very good. I think I like last year's more. Maybe it's just because I'm used to it. And these things, you know, tend to kind of ease away as the season goes on. You get used to it. But right now, after 1 week, I mean, that kind of stood out to me. I thought, very mad.
You wanted
for me.
More. You were left wanting more.
I would have been fine with them keeping the graphics package from last season, even though they lost the B, but I guess they want to rebrand, and here it is. So.
I'm just surprised they haven't sold it to some Middle Eastern airline.
Yeah, I mean, it's shocking, actually, that they haven't. And, you know, it's going to take some time to not do the BPL because that was so programmed in our brains and sponsorship thing.
I'm done. Yeah. I think I've said it once in the 4 years we've been at Sportsnet, which is actually 4 years this week. Did you realize? Or 4 years this week of the show?
Yeah, I was August 1st, yeah.
It's been 4 years since you both had that little chat with me.
Yeah. Well, four plus, score. Yeah.
Did we both take you to Starbucks? Was it that?
No.
You and I went for a walk, I think.
We went for a walk down King Street, you were telling me. And it's like this little boy admitting that he's, some major life.
He found a new girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly.
And she was a Maxim model. And, you know, she was like nothing I'd ever seen before. She had a Ferrari.
Yep. They're very shiny.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost apologetic. And I'm like, B, what are you apologizing for, man? Of course you are. Good for you. Deep down, like, you son of a
Well, little did you know that you would be talking Premier League and enjoying your Saturday mornings while I prepare to watch canoeing and get set on the Jays depth chart. That's my life now.
It's good. You're well-rounded. Charmin's pining to get into that. This is just temporary, and then eventually he's going to be. We've seen him on Tim and Sid.
I was on Primetime Sports. The roundtable on Friday.
Unreal.
Roundtable. Me talking about big time Jays.
It's great. It's great.
It was hilarious.
So you're going to ditch that fake accent soon, and it'll all come together.
That's part of the plan. One day. I planned this meticulously in my career for a long time.
Yeah.
And the plan was around 2016-17, I would slowly lose the accent.
Gone.
And, I just want to know. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying, when the hockey audience demand tighter pants, I will be there waiting in the wings.
I feel like that's not a thing the hockey audience will do. But I just want to know when the reveal comes, like when you finally say, "I've been fooling y'all for 20 years."
Oh, it's gradual. You won't notice.
Hmm? I think it's going to come out in one sit down with Nazem Kadri or something like that.
Right? Hey, Naz. Always the Kadri.
By the way, Jimmy VC week.
Here we go.
Jimmy VC week. Oh, my God. What? It's huge.
Okay.
He could be signing with the Leafs this week or someone.
Back to the games.
Sorry.
Signing season.
I'm just saying, by the way, when you guys broke the news that you're leaving the footy show all those years ago, when you told me, I was very upset. Again, happy for you, but very concerned. I thought this is the beginning of the end. And it was. Although he has some great replacements.
Yes.
Dom Gentile was awesome, is awesome.
Will
Farquharson, amazing.
You had Dom for 2 weeks.
Just felt like a little bit of the soul of the show was leaving, and then you left, and it's like, oh boy, now what? I better get my...
Let's be honest, you were happy when I left. When Dobby left, you thought, oh God, I need a new producer. When I left, you're like, well, Twitter's dying anyway.
It's going nowhere.
Great memories in the memory, though.
Oh, yes, the memories. Quickly, before we completely write off Arsenal here, they announced before the game that their captain for this season is Per Mertesacker, who's out for 5 months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that a statement on how amazing he is behind the scenes, or how there's absolutely no other choice?
Who's going to decide what shirt to wear? Long sleeves or short sleeves?
That's right.
Yeah, it is.
It's odd, right? I mean, I understand
very odd.
Captains in sports.
Yeah, but a team that, you know, with the Tony Adams and these guys that have been there, and then to think, Per Mertesacker, which is fine, but to not have a guy that is playing for the next 5 months is rather interesting.
I think, and I might be completely wrong, but this comes from just the way Wenger phrases his comments sometimes when he's talking about himself, particularly when things are well, and when he talks about the other foreign superstars that he brings in. I think he thinks to give the captaincy to a foreign player who's English and whose command and whose likeness in the media is not as strong is just too much of an issue for him. He'd rather not deal with it. So someone like Sanchez, who wouldn't embrace the full package of being a captain? No. Someone like Ozil, who the media is quick to jump on? No. He doesn't want to add that pressure
safe,
to him.
Safe choice.
Safe choice is Mertesacker. He's polite. He speaks like a hockey player, right? You're always going to get the 110% answers out of him.
But isn't it, okay, but naming a captain who's not going to be playing for 5 months, essentially he's an assistant coach then at this point, right? He's the guy who's going to be that liaison between the gaffer and the team.
Well,
right?
If he's anything.
That's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
If he's anything like Cristiano Ronaldo at the Euros, you know, a European champion and the best European champion winning coach ever.
Have you seen the documentary yet on Netflix?
I believe it or not, I haven't.
You
shockingly.
Have to. Honestly, it's actually a pretty good documentary.
Is it good? Yeah, the Ronaldo
it
one?
Is.
I just assumed it would be completely twattish.
It's so tailored. He obviously paints himself in a very good picture and nothing went to air that he wouldn't allow because it really was like fly in the wall stuff. Mm. It's really interesting.
Cool.
From it, I got that he is really self-absorbed. Surprise, surprise. But a good guy. Mm-hmm. Quite likable. And seems to be, you know, a pretty good father. Takes it very seriously and a loner in many ways, which I found somewhat interesting. But you'll love it. I mean, you'll watch this and you'll say, that's what I aspire to be. That man.
Because right you there. Think I am so self-absorbed.
Yeah, exactly.
And, yes.
You're not a loner.
Bit of
so
a loner.
Much,
yeah.
You live with a girl as well. Mm. He doesn't at time of taping anyway. But wow. Hey, you should watch it. I think you'll really enjoy it because it really is flying the wall stuff inside the Portuguese dressing room. Various parties. Jorge Mendes, quite the character.
I'm shocked you haven't watched that, actually.
I am too.
I'm stunned.
I've watched it before, B. What are the odds?
Yeah, I got it on DVD, but I don't have a DVD player, and the Mac
Netflix.
Doesn't have
yeah,
a...
Netflix,
no,
right?
Now it's on Netflix. I know it. I've just been procrastinating.
Tonight.
I do.
Go home after this.
I think I'll
go
have
home
to do
and
that.
Watch it.
By the time you hear this podcast next week, I'll have watched it, and I can give my full synopsis and review.
Hmm. It's a very... Unlike any kind of sports doc I've seen, just because it's fly in the wall stuff and he's cool. Still playing and stuff. But yeah, really interesting.
Sherman's review, Rotten Tomatoes,
8.6. 8.6. 8.6. Yeah, which is pretty much his average rating games as well.
Yeah,
8.
I guess.
6.
Well, at least.
All right. United. Jose's debut, Ibra's debut against Bournemouth, right? So there's only so much you can read into it. 3-1. But I just had this sense that the swagger is definitely back and they. Know what they are now, and that fear factor is returning to Old Trafford, to Manchester United. Even though it's Bournemouth, I understand.
I
that,
think
it's a feel to that team.
I absolutely agree. I think that doesn't matter who you're playing. I mean, you're going away in the Premier League. It's a place that they'd never won in 4 trips. I mean, history is there. Last year they beat them, and you're right. The swagger. I think that it all comes down to two guys that. Change that swagger, and I think it's obvious that Mourinho and Ibrahimovic right away, Ibra on the field. I mean, just the touches and just the presence there and just the way that the team kind of even celebrating the goal. It's just this guy is a winner, and this guy has that mentality and has that. I think other players even are not necessarily in awe of him, but they respect him mm-hmm. and they're, crap, we've got this guy now. And I think punctuated with a goal and swagger is going to be a massive thing for them. And I think that they looked like a team that right away, again, against Bournemouth, but you play who is on the fixture list, looks like a team that right away has gone from also-rans to title contender, mm-hmm. definitely.
I think Ibra's always had that swagger about him. And when he was younger, when he was at Barcelona, and here's a team that knows how to win as a family, doesn't like, you know, arrogant individuals, and that's what he came across as. That's why he had been painted with that brush and didn't work under Pep. That was never the system for him. But now, as this veteran, and I think someone who it seems as though he's going to embrace that role of teacher and mentor. Mourinho was saying, you know, at all the meals he's hanging out with all the youngsters, they're all getting to be around them, and he's just as happy to, you know, connect with them, and he's Snapchatting and doing all the things that they do. So I think it's a fantastic setup he's got in the room.
And the lineup, Juan Mata starts, you know, and the guy that we thought would be cast aside, and he still might be, but scores the goal,
mm-hmm.
the first one, and actually played pretty well in that game, I thought. But I'm wondering if he's been showcased. I don't think he's got a long-term future there, regardless. But, hey, good for him. And I thought Rooney, I was about to start ripping him on Twitter, mm-hmm. the way he was playing, but then he scored the goal. It's like, oh, better stop that, because he wasn't great. He is okay. He's been getting plaudits from a lot of people in his combination play with Ibra, but he was giving the ball away a lot. He really was. Don't you think?
This is the new Rooney, though. This is normal.
Well, he's trying to play in a new position as mm-hmm. a forward, right? This is a guy that's been a midfielder for, like, weeks prior to this.
It was pretty average. I mean, I thought that the goal was actually a pretty good finish for considering it was right there, but the twist on the neck muscles, I always think, God, you got to really get behind that, and you mm-hmm. put it right in the corner. So I thought it was a well-taken goal, and the timing of it, you know, was huge as well, just because 1-0 kind of sitting there. Oh, it's a little bit still, it could go either way, and then that put it away, and they could play much more free-flowing. That opened it up for them, and, you know, he was okay, but I think that we can't read too much into first game of the season, and he's always such a big target, and we'll see what they're like in a couple weeks when Pogba's in there and more of a finished product and get some games under their belt. But for a start, I think for him it was okay, and for them I thought it was very good.
Fellaini and Herrera in the midfield too as well. Fellaini played actually quite well mm-hmm. in that role. Again, you wonder what his future is when Pogba returns, whether he plays in that position or further up the field. But so many question marks, but yeah. Overall, a pretty good performance.
And Pogba should play on Friday.
Yeah, he was suspended from a card he got in the Coppa Italia.
Yeah, which is funny. It carries over. Yeah. And then I think still fitness-wise, they want to get him up to speed. But if they can get him ready for that home match on Friday, which is awesome, Friday against Southampton in the old Friday night Premier League.
World, right?
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah, we have that one.
Beautiful.
City, Pep's debut, beat Sunderland 2-1, a penalty and an own goal. Bit underwhelming. I'm not sure what I expected, but, you know, you kind of assume there's going to be some amazing storylines and this crazy tactical shifts. And there was in many ways. I mean, the tactics geeks loved that game, I'm sure. Some really interesting positioning. The centre-backs were, like, wider than the full-backs at times. You had Kolarov playing beside Stones. It was interesting, but he got the result, and in the end, I don't think it was really in doubt as much as I thought Sunderland played pretty well. Mm-hmm. You kind of always felt that goal was going to come, although perhaps not off the head of poor old Paddy McNair, old Manchester United player as well. But your thoughts on Pep's debut?
Well, you said that you were expecting and hoping for storylines, and I think through the preseason we had expected to see more from Pep, and certainly dealing with the squad, and then we got them all on Saturday with Joe Hart being...
That was the big story, wasn't it?
Stapled to the bench.
That was the big story.
Yaya Touré not in the squad. He's also not in the Champions League squad for the trip to Steaua.
Do you think it's a message to Joe Hart, or does he just not rate him? Because he wants a guy that can distribute from the back. That's not really Joe Hart. Mm-hmm. Caballero is better than Hart, although hardly renowned for it.
Yeah, I think it's a complete sign that they're going to bring in a keeper. I don't think it's a message to say, hey, you know, you better improve. I think you're out. Willie's in for now, and I think they're going to bring in a keeper in the next 2.5 weeks.
But to do that before, I don't understand why they wouldn't have done that in the summer.
I heard Rui Patricio linked as well.
What?
I don't know if you guys saw that one, but...
Wow. I didn't see that one. I would be surprised.
I can't believe Sporting haven't lost a whole team. They've lost a lot.
Yeah.
Do you rate Patricio?
Oh,
he's huge.
I rated him before this tournament considerably, but in that final, he was exceptional. I mean, in the moment, you think, oh, a few chances here and there. But when I went back and watched that match, it was like, wow, France, I don't think we gave France enough credit. Like, they had some really good efforts on target that would have beat a handful of keepers. You know, he made 7 or 8 touches, and 3 or 4 of them were game-saving.
Yeah. And actually, in the past, though, he's been perhaps vilified in previous tournaments.
Is it? Yes, but he's also younger. I think he was, I feel like there's a weird parallel between Portuguese goalkeepers and American goalkeepers. For some reason, they seem to be the standout player, at least at first. And then once you take that seat in Portugal, it's yours until you're too old to keep it anymore.
Right.
As we've seen Eduardo and Ricardo and Vitor Bahia beforehand. So I think to take it as young as he did, he was going to go through a lot of those bumps. But now he can't be taken off the throne.
Yeah, well, maybe it will be him. That'd be interesting.
Yeah,
it'd be great to have him in the Prem.
That's the links. So Ter Stegen apparently maybe is not for sale. So I think Hart, I think his time there is
done.
So
where does he go? I mean, not many teams need goalkeepers, right? In Premier League anyway, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you assume that he's a Champions League quality goalkeeper, which I think he probably is. He's a very good goalkeeper. The Champions League teams don't need goalkeeping right now. I know Everton's been mentioned, but Stekelenburg was really
Stekelenburg was great. Yeah, he had really a good really big match. Yeah.
He was, but he's been awful for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
After the World Cup in South Africa, we thought this guy's the next guy.
Yeah.
Roma awful. Well, yeah. Fulham, horrific. And then he was at somewhere else after that. He went back to Roma. I think Fulham was on loan. He'd been absolute trash.
So maybe Everton's going to be an option.
I think so. Ronald Koeman would like.
God forbid an English player goes overseas.
He won't do it.
Why not?
Shrewsbury Joe?
Shrewsbury Joe, he's a pretty smart dude. He's not the average footballer. Not
true.
Not to criticize the intelligence of footballers. But
he was on loan at Southampton last year.
Yeah, I knew there was something.
He played 17 appearances.
Did he really?
Yeah. Last season, really?
Cups and a few Prem?
I guess so.
Huh.
Hmm.
Well, there you go.
Forster was hurt. Why do we not remember that?
I know.
That's
seriously.
Kind of
that's,
bizarre.
Yeah. It's not
but there was a period there where Southampton became that team where you just read the report. Right? Because it was like, they were still, you know, nicking points.
They actually,
but they weren't in the conversation.
They really interest me this year,
Southampton. 3 points out of the Champions League spots.
They really interest me.
Great second half of the season.
You know, they sell the high profile players and Mane, Wanyama, Pella, right? These guys all go. I'm really like Nathan Redmond looked great on his debut, but it's not a sexy name. Sorry to jump to that game, but just as it's just an interesting team this year because on paper it looks like it should be a huge regression. And Puel, I'm like, ooh, first time in England. I don't know. I mean, he has pedigree, obviously, being at Lyon and stuff. But
a bit like Pochettino, first year in England.
Yeah. I'm just very curious about them this season. I didn't get much indication in a 1-1 at home to Watford of kind of what they're going to be. And, you know, obviously, I think Tadic is kind of what makes them click. And
he's great again,
and
he?
Shane Long, I think, is underrated and always scores goals and is a guy that is a pretty good striker. But, you know, Redmond, again, he would look good, but he's a guy that has been at Norwich for a long time, a team that's always struggled, and he can be flashy at times. I just, very interesting season for Southampton. I think they could finish anywhere from 7th to 15th. I really have no idea what they're going to be.
I just wonder, you know, how many years can you keep losing your top players and your managers?
Exactly. No, that's it, right? I mean, the last changeover was okay, but this one, you know, another new manager, it's just, it seems like it's a tough spot for them and the fans because you just, all the success and you're not building on it with the same guy and you're trying to implement new systems. It's tough. You don't want to become that transitional club.
You see, Paul Mitchell, he was a guy in charge of their academy, their recruitment. He was procured by Spurs 2 years ago now. Big loss, we thought, for Southampton. He's left Spurs now. Couldn't handle Levy, the owner. Just couldn't handle the interference. And now apparently Leicester are after him because they lost their guy to, I think it was Everton.
Everton, right?
So, you know, I forget who's in charge of Southampton now, but that pipeline still looks pretty solid. The youth coming through the academy there.
Yeah, but, I mean, and their books must be great. I mean, I'm just assuming because all the money they sell these guys on for, and you look at this summer, I mean, they made a ton in those transfers, and, you know, the gates are good, and they've, you know, now made themselves a consistent Premier League team. I mean, they're a great model, of course, but you hope that they can keep it together and you know, stay at that level and not just kind of like cash in and then, you know, fall back and eventually get yourself in danger and start, you know, being in relegation.
The secret is you just got to find yourself a Swiss-Canadian hockey type to run things.
German-Canadian.
German-Canadian? Yeah. Was he German? I think it was Swiss-Canadian.
Then is it just Germany that, in which he has coached?
Ralph Kruger, right?
Maybe
I thought he was Swiss.
Maybe I'm assuming.
Swiss-German, really the same thing?
It's hilarious, though.
Europe,
perhaps not politically. A little bit different.
Yeah, it's hilarious
a little bit.
When I speak with people who then they draw that conclusion like, oh, you're Canadian. Isn't Ralph Kruger like an ice hockey coach or something? Yeah, and then that conversation starts.
Canadian-born German.
Yeah, you're right.
He's German, is he? Paris, okay, then he coached in Switzerland, didn't he?
He did.
Okay, that's
head coach of Swiss men's national team.
See, that's what...
But German. You guys are both right. We're both wrong. Whatever.
Listen, we're branching out to other sports. See, before you know it, it's a hockey podcast.
Oh, God. And then, I won't wake up anymore.
Ralph Kruger reference.
The day this switches to a hockey podcast, you lose me.
Nazem Kadri, yeah.
I'm out.
No, you're not.
I don't know how many, you know, it doesn't matter how many Guinnesses you open up on this podcast. You going to take that one?
I would love to.
Guinness Blonde with American hops?
Toronto star, Laura Armstrong. friend of the show. She they have a podcast where they actually drink beer.
Her and Doug Smith?
Her and Doug Smith. And right. she sent a tweet asking regarding Arsenal, the simple question, will it get better? Laura, no, it won't.
Nope, they're going to lose every game this season.
Yep.
if I can just get a quick Saints point in before we move on that. Saints fans are a passionate bunch, and I really do respect that. They're very trigger happy to attack anyone who criticizes them. I rated them considerably lower than last season because of the turnover. I think I had them picked to be 13th. But I applauded the hiring of Puel because I think he's the perfect manager for them. He absolutely embodies all of those principles, developing youth and coming through the system. But I just bet against the fact that you can't have a complete changeover and stay in the same page. They're still going to take points off teams, but it's harder for them every time they have to refresh.
He was at Nice last year, wasn't he?
The reality is, yeah, I've got them.
Formerly Lyon.
The parallels between Nice and Southampton are why I rate him so well, because he'd brought a string of academy players through. They'd also sold off a few of their star players for fantastic profits, and he got them within a few points of a Champions League place on a shoestring budget.
Yeah. What sounds I do like is that they've kept a lot of the spine and the
font.
You know, the back four, the defensive unit. I mean, that at
least... It's a good back four.
I'd rather, you know, you're making those changes up front and bring in different attacking players, because I think at least that back line should be steady enough that mm-hmm. they're not going to get into that dogfight.
Font, Van Dijk, Bertrand, and what, Suarez, Cedric, right?
Yeah.
That's up there with any back four in the league.
Yeah, it's strong.
Really very good.
I mean, they had a pretty good defensive record last year, and again, to keep that... I just the big names, but Pella was kind of falling out of favor already
that
last year. Mane, I think,
come on,
China,
yeah
I know, ridiculous. Seriously.
He's the fourth highest paid footballer in the world.
That's
is he
perfect
really?
For yeah. him.
Graziano Pella is.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't wait for good the for Netflix him. Documentary.
Yeah.
Douche.
Yeah, another douche. Yeah.
Just called douche.
Nice hair though.
No, he's a handsome man. He's probably doing very well for himself in China, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure. Gonna when the time
he really is Dunlop's kind of guy.
You're gonna say in so many ways.
When the time comes and we can't make, I don't even remember the reference I was referring to now. That you, what did you just say? Oh, nice hair though. Excuse me. Yeah. Yes. When we can no longer make that reference to that fantastic Conservatives ad against Prime Minister Trudeau, it'll be a sad day.
What?
Never mind. Just go back to the
all right.
order. All
right.
This well prepared podcast. We should get Guinness to sponsor the podcast.
10 minutes in Southampton.
And should get
yeah,
on that.
No, sorry.
Came from nowhere.
We haven't even talked about the champions yet.
Instead of engaging with the likes on the Twitter, why don't you engage with the sales team and get them to romance Guinness?
Yeah, and we will drink Guinness. How many Guinness could we fire back during a 45-minute podcast?
At least two each.
Yeah.
And do you know what Guinness is fantastic? I used to do this at the Villa Pub when we used to be on television all the time. You start with a coffee at 11, before 10 o'clock, excuse me, before they serve. Then at 11, the Guinness comes. Then whatever's left of the coffee, pour it in the Guinness.
The Guinness?
Fantastic.
Really?
Oh, see, today, I'm not working really? Today. Never I could have done it today. But no, going forward every week when I'm actually working, when Tim and Sid's back on the air, that would be tough.
You work with those guys, then you need a drink.
Are you back at work next week?
At least once a week.
Next Monday.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So
that would be tough, you know, going with a Guinness on my breath at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, might be. Might not go
walking around with the
pretty,
suits and all the
modern,
important
progressive
people.
Group you got there. You know, they'd accept it, wouldn't they?
Yeah, maybe.
You know,
okay. Well, if Guinness sponsors us, I'll have one.
Yeah, I think that's exactly
there.
The
at 10 in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. Stretch, yeah, just so you know, 10 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah. And unless Lance behind the glasses, you know, in some marathon training, he'll join us.
Yeah,
for a pint, I'm sure.
I'm sure he will.
Yeah. All right, the champs, Leicester. Oh boy, it's been derailed already.
Mm.
Shocking result of the weekend,
that?
That's
Hull,
for sure.
The team that is in absolute turmoil off the field with no manager, sales. There's been plenty of sales, very few incomings.
13 healthy players.
Mike Phelan's in charge. And they
protest in the crowd.
Protest in the crowd, yeah. And it's like all against none type of thing, you know. And boy, they got it done, didn't they?
And I think this is why we love it. And this is, you know, the old cliche, that's why you play the games. But nothing was going right for Hull, and all of a sudden one result. And you know, I think that it buoyed the players on, knowing that, you know, it is that mentality, it's us against the world, and mm-hmm. and they have to bring some players in. And you know, there's obviously only 2.5 weeks left to do it, but what an amazing result, and good for them to do it.
Joe Hart,
yeah, exactly.
Juan Mata, Who else have we spoken about today that's being disposed?
Pretty good team, actually.
Marwin Fellaini,
Yankopovich, or whatever. He was quite good in that game, and he's a good keeper. So, no Joe Hart there, but
yeah.
How about Abel Hernandez wheeling away as if he scored that goal? By
the
way,
no, it wasn't like, him.
That is, I mean,
yeah, he's goal scorer. You got to claim the goal.
Yeah,
you claim it.
It's kind of ridiculous. Another thing that bothered me this weekend to jump around is, why did Dele Alli go to the deli on the back of his shirt? You
notice that? I didn't notice that.
Yeah, Ali's gone. Now it's Deli on there. He's like doing the Memphis.
I thought it was Deli last year.
No, it wasn't.
You sure?
I checked because I saw it and I was like,
it didn't
that
seem.
Doesn't look right.
What did he have on the back of his England shirt?
Ali.
100%. You sure?
100%.
I think it was Deli.
On the England shirt? Okay, last year for sure it was. It
could be hungry.
Pull up the Getty Images subscription.
I might go for a nice deli sandwich after this, actually.
There you go.
What is up today? We are more off the rails than ever.
I don't think we are. I think we've been.
It's just the first week. How much can you read it?
We've spoken very little about soccer.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be honest, though.
It stood out to me anyways, because last year, definitely in Spurs jersey, he wore
Alley.
And he went to the deli like Memphis. That bothered me as well. But maybe there's a good reason for it. I don't know. I probably shouldn't say too much, because maybe there's a.
Spurs tied Everton 1-1, by the way. So obviously we just glossed over the Leicester failure.
Yeah, no. We're going to go back to it.
We are?
Yeah. Right.
Okay, we can do that on this podcast.
You were Ali on the England shirt.
Yeah.
All right.
First time a defending champion has lost in the first day since 1989, when Arsenal lost to United, because Arsenal had stolen the previous year's league from Liverpool. So it serves them right.
Yeah, no, Dunlop looks really interested in this game.
I can't, I can't speak to 1989 because I wasn't there.
It wasn't our game. We had Borough at the same time. I was watching that. So I can't really talk as to this game specifically.
I didn't wake up for it.
No, no Huth, which is
big difference.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's going to be, oh, well, they're not going to do it this year. We'll see. We'll see.
That's, they're not going to win this year. They're not.
No.
Because they weren't going to win last year at this time either.
Yes, exactly.
So let's move on. It's week one, after all. Borough tied Stoke 1-1. Borough looked really good in that game, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Negredo with his first shot on target.
Yep.
Back in the Prem scores. Off his kind of shoulder.
Shoulder, yeah.
But it was nicely worked goal, though.
It was very nice. Gaston Ramirez looked good.
Excellent.
He obviously has some history in the Prem, but...
The two of them, I think, are going to be a really, really good
partnership. They should be a fun, exciting team. And I think, Krank has said it after the match. He was kind of, this is a great barometer for them. Stokes finished ninth three seasons in a row. This is the team that teams coming up want to model themselves after. Let's not forget, Stoke haven't been in the Prem that long. It's been, 6-7 years, and they've kind of been that model for a team that doesn't have to overspend and slowly builds and then can start to spend some money to keep themselves there. And, they have a pretty good thing going. So it was a good test for them. And, I think a point was fair, but that's the kind of the teams that they want to try to emulate. So a good start for Borough for sure.
Jordan Shaqiri with a nice,
very nice
goal from a dead ball situation in that one.
Beautiful. Stoke actually looked like quite the team this year. I mean, you look at their team sheet on the opening day. I thought,
yeah, it's not bad, is it?
That's a pretty good team right there. I mean, they have a lot of
Joe Allen not even starting. Just wait.
Yeah, Imbula. I mean, he's a destroyer.
He's a boss,
I like him a lot.
Like
And there's a lot of class there with Boyan, Shaqiri, Arnautovic when he's on. Again, a solid back line that's been consistent. Yeah, wait till Joe Allen gets in there. Yeah, quite the signing. And Shea Given deputizing as well. And he was the third oldest Premier League player to ever start a game.
He got a yellow card for being a prick to the officials.
He's still got the spirit.
Rules. New rules,
he sprinted out 30 meters to confront the referee.
Were there many of them? I didn't really.
There was two.
Yeah.
Arnautovic did it.
Yeah.
For profane language.
So both Stoke players.
Now, that should have been a red card. By the letter of the law.
Mm. In fairness,
I thought that was going to be more of a storyline this weekend leading in. I think
the players definitely seemed a little bit less edgy.
Yeah.
They seemed to behave themselves more, that they were listening to the mandate from the league.
I just don't think they're in shape yet. I don't think they're all fit.
Could be.
These preseason tours are as much a holiday as it is just, okay, do the two a day so that you completely sweat the bottles out.
Yeah.
That's basically all it is.
Fingers blamed his entire 90 minutes on the fact that the players aren't quite ready.
Yeah. No, I think it comes back to, is this like a glorified preseason, but the games count. And that's why, you look at a result like City and they scrape it out and it wasn't pretty. But at this time, the first couple of weeks, it's just about get the results. Yeah. And then, you start playing how you're going to play shortly in a couple of weeks.
Well, as a wise man once said, you can't win the league in August, but you sure can lose it.
Mm.
Not sure who that was. Who was that?
I have no idea.
Alan Shearer.
That's Alan Shearer.
Gary Lineker.
I think that was maybe like a baseball reference. You can't.
Who, by the way, I realize why you're so concerned with your fitness levels, you know, with your hot yoga and your Muay Thai classes and your Pilates that you do, your two-a-day Pilates.
2 days, yeah.
Did you see any of the videos of Gary Lineker shirtless and standing in his underwear?
He's fit still. For a
they were Leicester boxers, no?
I know.
And he had the crest on the side?
Yeah. Good for him. Because he had the bet last
year. Fantastic.
He'll present match of the day in his underwear if Leicester win.
Yeah.
And he did. He's very fit.
Yeah.
And he's what? Is he 50 yet?
Yeah. I believe he must have just hit it. You know who turned 57 yesterday and it blew my mind?
Let me guess.
I honestly thought.
Wayne Rooney.
I double checked it because I was like, no, it's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's the guy from Bolton? Jay Spearing.
He turned 50?
57?
He turned 50 years ago.
Magic Johnson.
57?
Yeah.
That doesn't shock me.
57? Yeah. I thought, wait, no. 47? Well, like, not be young.
That he's actually made it this far, because when he was first diagnosed, everyone thought, well, he's dead, right? That was a symbol, right? He's actually been the flag bearer of all those, what they called the AIDS drugs, the anti... I can't remember what they're called. Anyway, he's kind of the poster boy because he's still going strong.
Yeah.
57, eh?
57.
Wow. When did he retire? What year was that? That was the early 90s. Right?
Early
90s. Yeah, it was 92.
And then
he came back when, I remember he came back once there was like a real NBA package, because I remember him watching him and being excited, having heard the stories of this guy who had to leave because he got sick. And here he came back for a season, 95, 96, 95, I think.
He was the one guy that I knew of from the NBA.
Yeah.
When I moved here, more than Jordan.
Really?
His bloody chair. All my hot yoga, I'm obviously still fat and too heavy because this chair's bloody broken.
What's the session after work today? Are you going to Muay Thai? What happened to those broken ribs you had?
No, it was rib cartilage.
And
it's good.
Okay.
It's good.
You're fine.
Can I make a quick fitness point? We skipped over Liverpool. Sure. This has nothing to do with us because I am no pinnacle of fitness. Remember Klopp was criticized for coming in and all the players were had exploding hamstrings last season?
Yeah.
Right? The new physio?
Right. The new physio. So I'd thought like over the course of the summer, he would develop a new plan and things would be different. And he did. He couldn't get Mario Götze from Bayern, but he did get the fitness, head of fitness and the nutritionist. And do you know what they ran all preseason? Three a days.
Did they really?
3 a days.
Wow.
Daniel Sturridge was asked, what do you think of the new training regime? Quote, it's intense, bruv.
It worked out for them yesterday. I mean, they looked a lot fresher, a lot more
professional. Have you seen the physio from Bayern?
No.
You have to Google him.
Okay.
Okay, do it now, because I won't mention it. You'll piss yourself
off. Is Eva Carneiro working these days, or what? What's going on?
She went back to Gibraltar, I think. Oh, did she win that lawsuit?
Well, they settled, I think, out of court, but she got a lot of money out of it.
Okay.
All right. We are just on a show, Tom, here as well.
The Liverpool physio?
It's amazing.
Yeah, he's...
You Google. You
know
what?
The really rallied around Klopp yesterday, by the way. The celebration on the 4-1 goal.
He
Mane
apologized for
it.
He apologized for his celebration.
Yeah.
I think it's too much.
Too much, because there was still time to go. And obviously it would have looked pretty bad if they had conceded. It was like Alan Pardew doing the jig with so much time left in the FA Cup final.
But from a television perspective, especially someone who's trying to force more soccer into their show that's dominated by other sports that Sherman enjoys more so, you need more dancing managers like that.
Yeah. No, it was... he's fun. He's fun. Chelsea West Ham today, by the way. That should be fun.
Yes, on Sportsnet World.
I'm going home.
All of you are
going
to see this.
All right. This is very fun for the podcast listener.
That is the new physio.
God,
it is Jurgen Klopp's
exactly like
doppelganger.
Klopp 2.0. Mm.
Like the glasses, the beard, the hairstyle, the coloring. He's like mini Klopp.
That's amazing.
You know what's funny is there are some managers, especially
Andreas Kornmeier,
those concerned with their appearance, which Klopp doesn't seem to be as much as the others, that would have asked him, just change the glasses. Okay, you can't go with the same, matte gray.
No. You got to mix
Saab driving architect's glasses.
I think you've got to go contact lenses.
Saab driving.
You can't go any glasses.
When you're every architect drives a Saab.
Similar.
Drove.
All right, we should get on here quickly. Oh, by the way, Yannick Bolasie.
Yes. Yeah.
Joined Everton.
25.
25 million from Palace. Palace lost. That's a great signing for them. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of this guy. Burnley lost to Swansea. Now, I got a clip to play from the post-match. This is Burnley manager Sean Dyche.
And overall, I'm actually pleased with the performance. It gives us something to build on. It gives us, you know, belief in what we want to do. And now the players all mould into a team that hopefully can be creative this year and go and win games.
Since Martin Lowell left the Premier League, I've missed those kind of tones. That clip has no interest to me as far as the content. But what an amazing sounds. Voice.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Sean Dyche.
Yeah, welcome back.
Superb.
We'll
play clips of him every single week.
There you go.
All right, production value. All right, now then. Almost time for this podcast to finish, but got to move on. Right.
We should be selling secondhand cars in like Guildford or something.
Yeah, actually, I thought it sounds like if Ray Wilkins was method acting, if he was trying to...
I can see that.
Right? If he was trying to, you know, be a character completely out of sorts for him, that's as far as he would go. Would be Ray Wilkins trying to be President Obama. That's as far as you'd get with him.
They hadn't lost at home since December, Burnley.
It's those new floodlights.
Yeah. Swansea will be interesting this year, too. Don't know what to expect from them.
Yeah. All right, boys. A couple of notes here. Lukas Podolski is retired from the national team of Germany. Yeah.
He's still
playing. Actually, played a few minutes in at Euro, didn't he?
Yeah, he came on as a sub.
Apparently, he's an amazing teammate. People love him there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the reason why he got picked, because he wouldn't play Euro that much, but
he's basically the Mooney Kawasaki of Germany.
Yeah. At one point he was good, so there's a difference. Yeah.
You're right. Twitter, Albert Seal. Where will Coutinho end up next summer? He's too good for Liverpool. Okay, shut up, Alberta Seal.
Alberta Seal?
Alberta underscore Seal.
Seal, like
as in arf. Seal. Right? Not like seal as in sealing the grouting around your bathtub.
I think most...
It would be the same seal, wouldn't it? Same spelling.
It could be.
Most of our audience.
Let us know.
It is.
Yeah, all six of you listening, let us know if you can answer that question. But I think most of them would have expected either Dobby or I to do the seal impersonation. But good on you. It sounds better in your fake accent.
English seal?
The seal accent is just amazing.
Well, the English seal is a musician.
Yeah.
He's great.
Him and Heidi Klum, though, that was devastating.
Klum,
him
and
they
right.
broke up,
they
right?
Broke up, yeah. Yeah.
Klum,
whatever accent right. again. But yeah, Seal and Klum.
Dunlop, the German expert over here, Kruger and Heidi Klum.
Heidi Klum.
Okay, we'll say it like that for you.
Arf, arf, arf. Arf, arf.
Arf, arf.
Any more on the
I think we drank a few Guinness.
I got a bit of coffee left.
Anything else you want to talk about?
There was a bits and bobs that I'd add.
Actually, before, very sad news today, actually. Really sad news. Delian Atkinson. Aston Villa, we'll say a legend after he scored that amazing goal in the mid-90s and a player that Villa fans just loved, died today. He was tasered by police after an altercation at his family home.
Mm.
He's so sad. Don't know the story behind
crazy.
What happened there, but I mean, he was quite a name in the 90s.
Yeah.
In those inaugural Premier League seasons. And that goal he scored still might be the best goal ever scored in the Premier League.
He was before my time, but he was absolutely a fabric of that history in that 94 League Cup winning team.
Yep. All right. Bits and Bobs, anyone? How about Usain Bolt?
Yeah, that was quite the night last night.
Right. It was incredible. A pedestrian 9.8, but he was pushed more than he's been pushed for a long time.
Credit to Andre Degrasse. I mean,
absolutely.
What a story. What an athlete.
He's going to be.
What a run.
He'll be gold medal favorite in 4 years' time, you would think. What can happen in 4 years?
Although I wouldn't count out Bolt being back.
I think Bolt should switch to the 400, even though we saw Michael Johnson's record beaten yesterday, which I didn't think I'd ever see until Bolt started running it.
And Gatlin's 34, so he'll be gone.
From lane 8, that guy got it as well.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, Bolt's still going to do the World Championships for 2, maybe 3 years. And then I think once those times get below 9.8, they get closer to 10, I think he's going to, you know, You can't go there if there's a chance you might not win gold again.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, Phelps will not come.
Retire a champion.
All this talk about Phelps coming back in 4 years. No, because you're not going to come. The more silvers that he takes home in Rio is all
if
the more.
If he wins the 200 and the 4x100 and has like the perfect 9 for 9 in 3 Olympics, then it might be a good idea, but. Who knows? Anyway, I wasn't watching last night. I was watching TFC.
Are you?
Nah, I'm just kidding.
No, I tried to watch TFC on Saturday. It didn't work out because of bloody rain.
Yeah.
You and about 17 people in Houston were watching TFC.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. Yeah.
In fairness, they maybe they couldn't leave their homes or get through the roads, so I shouldn't.
Are you enjoying the Olympics?
Yeah, I am.
I'm pretty into it, I would say.
You know what? The coverage, I know there's been a lot of talk in particular over the weekend about the coverage, but I think it's been exceptional. It really has. Mm-hmm. Like, if you enjoy sport and you have any nationalistic pride, it's been great. No matter what your liking is to, you have so many options on three networks all day.
It is a nightmare to produce. I've spoken to some of the producers. They're doing an amazing job.
Yeah.
But, like, they are flying blind. Events thrown at them. Like, you're doing this now, this now. And they're doing an amazing job, as are all the hosts and all the networks. I think are doing a brilliant job.
Hey, that's just how things were for Rio, so might as well translate to the producers.
Organized chaos.
There's my bits and bobs, by the way. For as calm, cool, and collected as Andre DeGrasse was running next to Usain Bolt, and they got this bromance and this brotherhood. You know, when I grow up, I'd like to be as calm and cool and collected as Ryan Lochte when someone puts a gun to my head. Did you see his description of this?
I know.
Robbed at gunpoint. Robbed at gunpoint in a taxi with three other swimmers, and he's retelling the story. The guys pulled out their guns, dressed as police officers, by the way. So men posing as police officers. They told the other guys to get down. They got down. I refused. Then the guy pulled out his gun, cocked it, pointed my forehead, and said, get down. I was like, whatever. They took our wallets, left my cell phone, and my credentials.
You know, when you're usually staring down Michael Phelps' backside, right, a gun isn't that scary.
Ooh.
I'm just saying. Phelps owns him.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. We'll just leave it there.
All right.
All right.
We're out of time. What are you laughing at? I wasn't being anything other than...
No, you weren't.
I wasn't.
Nothing.
Cool. You just your filthy mind.
No, I'll tell you after.
All right.
Right.
Sure. Thomas Dolby, Brendan Dunlop, Lance Kennedy behind the glass, and James Sharman. We're back Thursday for another edition of the Soccer Central Podcast. Cue the tune.